Hello and welcome to Super Saturday, a comic book media podcast, where each episode we will be focusing on your favorite comic books, TV shows, and movies to figure out if these projects will stand the test of time. I'm Damon A, and on today's episode, we are joined by a very, very special guest.
It's me, it's Narciso. I'm here on Super Saturdays.
On with the show. Yeah, I don't.
Yeah. It starts playing and it's like.
Okay. Narciso, it is fantastic to have you on the show. I'm really glad you had the time because I know you're a busy person. So I'm glad to have you on the show and everything.
Thanks. Yeah, I was looking forward to it. I've never been on something like this before. So it's going to be a new experience for me.
Okay, cool. So I know this is going to be an interview where I'm going to be, you know, talking about everything that involves you, but can you introduce yourself to the Supes? Like, what is it that you do?
Are fans called the Supes?
Yes, they are.
I like that a lot. I guess I'm a Soup now too because I'm subscribed.
That's a flex. That is a flex. Thank you for that. Thanks for subscribing.
I'm Narciso. I am an artist and educator, living in Detroit. Although I'm from Jersey City, New Jersey. I make kinetic or motion-based figurative work that's pretty chromatic and saturated. And I'm working on probably too many things right now just because, like, I'm not teaching right now. So I just have a lot of time to just... I made a whole list of like all the ideas that I have, like what is all the things I can do just so I can focus, because sometimes I struggle with that. It's too many. I just have too many ideas. Like maybe if I had money to hire people to make some of them too, that would be cool. But I'm fine with just, I enjoy the process of making artwork and stuff. So I'm in the middle of making a comic that was inspired by my D&D character in this campaign I've been playing in for like 5 years almost. Her name is Randy Pittsburgh, and she has a big sword, and she's an older woman, and I think that's pretty new. I don't know.
Randy Pittsburgh, what's a cool ass name.
It was inspired by just the name Duncan Idaho, and I thought that was so ridiculous, and it was like, I gotta make something in that same vein or something like that. So it's like, yeah.
It kind of reminds me of Hannah Montana. For some
you know, reason. I forgot about Hannah Montana when I made that up.
But that's actually really cool. So, okay. Before we dive into the meat and potatoes of this episode with the interview, and then also I'm going to be asking you a couple questions about your favorite comic book stories. You want to do a little news roundup? Okay.
Sure.
Okay, so this news rounds up. We only have like just one thing, mainly because I kind of did the news roundup a little later than usual, you know, hey. And on top of that, at the time of this recording, this is the biggest thing that has been all over comic book Twitter. Set pictures from the new Superman movie has dropped. We got to see the whole Daily Planet gang. And we also got to see David Corn Sweats, Clark Kent, and the Superman suit, and then Mr. Terrific. I'm excited. So, Narciso, are you a Superman fan? Are you excited for these DC movies?
I am. I just want there to be a good Superman movie again. Just because there's just so much you can do with the character, and like people just I thought Zack Snyder's take on it was pretty joyless, like his first movie. It was just like dark and brooding all the time, and then it's like I don't know. It's not what I picture when I think of Superman, but there's a lot of cool stuff they did with like some really Dragon Ball kind of stuff, throwing each other through Metropolis. I liked that, but you know, outside of it, it was like it's not as fun, I guess. In regards to like the set photos I saw, I did only see the ones with Mr. Terrific, and I thought the jacket is so cool, and it's like I would get that outfit.
I want that. Like I want that damn jacket. Like it wouldn't go with anything, but like you know what. I would step out maybe once or twice with that damn jacket just to say I have that shit. But No, I agree with you. With there was some DBZ shit that was going on in Man of Steel. Did everyone die in Metropolis? Possibly. Actually, fucking BVS told us that people die in Metropolis.
And this was like kind of Superman's fault.
Yeah, no, it kind of was Superman's fault. I mean, yes and no. And then also that movie had something about Granny's piss in it. And just like, I listen, you know what? I can spend an entire episode shitting on that movie. And for a lot of reasons, a lot of things I can say about BVS, but I'm kind of, you know, I'm excited for the new movies and even the new Superman movie. I'm really excited. I'm liking what I'm seeing so far.
I thought you were going to say something about Marvel versus Capcom.
You know something? Let's talk about that then. I'm assuming you loved those games.
I love those games, and like I've been mourning them like since they've like been taking off like digital marketplaces, and like I still have a disc for it somewhere, but my Dreamcast broke and I haven't gotten a replacement. Yeah, and I had an Xbox Live once upon a time, but they took it off of there. I'm very happy that like that people have been saying that the game is complete on cartridge or disc or whatever if you buy a physical version. So you won't have to worry about anyone taking the game away from you anymore. But I have so many memories from like Marvel 2, Marvel 1, like X-Men versus Street Fighter. It's like I spent a lot of time with those games. Was that your experience too?
You know, surprisingly enough, I'd say I remember Marvel vs. Capcom 2. And didn't they like put those in like an arcade as well too?
Yeah, they had cabinets of those, yeah.
Yeah, I remember playing those growing up, going to an arcade and playing those. And then I remember only like playing it on console a couple of times because I wasn't the one who had it. My cousins had it. I just loved the designs, loved the artwork.
Oh, yeah.
Like a lot, actually. And I'm just, I'm intrigued. I'm actually interested in like taking some time and playing it because my memories when it comes down to superhero games is Marvel Ultimate Alliance. And was it X-Men? I forgot what it was. It was X-Men something. Was it Legends? X-Men Legends or something?
I remember.
Yeah. That. Yeah, X-Men Legends. I remember that. Now that game. Chef's kiss. But since we're talking further about comic books and everything, I kind of want to, you know, start into the interview side of things. So, Esprit 2. What? I just said your last name. I called you by your last name. Oh my gosh.
Hey, yeah, it's not first time.
Hey. Okay. But actually, so when did you first get into comics?
Like reading them and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember it was a Peter Parker Spider-Man issue. Like my dad would take me to the mall and like we'd go to this like little kiosk that had all these comics on it. It had like Sonic comics that I didn't know I was into, and like it was Spider-Man. But I remember one specifically, it had the Punisher and Tarantula on there, and Peter Park Spider-Man was like in the middle and they're both aiming guns at him, like basically. And it was John Romita Jr. on the artwork. I forgot who the writer was, but like John Romita Jr. is like, he's like one of my favorite artists ever. It informs a lot of my visual style, I think, John Romita Jr. That was my first memory of comics.
So wait, would you say that your favorite hero is Spider-Man, or would you say like you have like another favorite character when it comes down to comic characters?
I mean, like of like the standard comic characters, I guess Spider-Man's like pretty high up there, just because it's like there's some lightness to him, and like his rogues gallery is just like excellent. And like one of my favorite runs on Spider-Man is Dan Slott's 5 years or whatever he did.
Okay, that's a good choice. I haven't read all of Dan Slott's stuff, before when I read Big Time, liked it. I really did. I'd say my favorite Spider-Man run though is JMS, because I'm like a Spider-Man fiend. So, like I said before we hopped into here and everything, this is going to be like a little episode of Hot Ones almost, because I'm going to have like a lot of different questions, a lot of different things. So like you said, you talked about your career and everything when you introduced yourself to the on the episode. You're an artist, obviously. Soups, if you didn't look at the title, so as an artist. And you've worked in editorial, advertising, comics, and you also done posters as well, too. Of the stuff you've worked on, what was your favorite that you had to say?
I think while comics are the most painful, I think they're the most fun to work on too. And they're not painful. It's just like there's so much to do. Like you can ask some people who make art, and like they'll say it's like they tried to do it, and it's like you're making five paintings on one page, and it's like takes so many hours. And some people don't like the payoff, I guess. And it's like, I don't know. I think I enjoy the idea of like telling a story. Comics very much are in control of the reader, like how time works and like what sounds you hear, how a character sounds, or like, you know, you can linger on one moment for as long as you need to. Like, meanwhile, a movie will just like kind of push you through it.
When was your moment where you just decided, like, you know what, this is what I want to do? Like, I'm going to pursue art. I want to do comics and stuff like that.
I guess it was like when I was a teenager or something. It's like I really had decided that that's kind of like what my big goal is. I remember like the old Wizard magazines that used to come out.
This Wizard magazine.
I do. It's like they don't even have Wizard World anymore, I think. Or like maybe just only like a couple left, but like many of them have been bought up by Fan Expos or something. But I remember a Wizard magazine, and it was like just seeing out all different kinds of things coming out at a given time. And it's like there's so many different kinds of stories you can tell outside of just like hero comics. For example, like there's a, I don't know if you've read Ed Brubaker and Marcos Martins Friday. It's kind of taking like kid detective kind of concept, but like going forward in time, like they've not been solving mysteries or crimes for a while, and they went off to college and had lives, and like the characters kind of reunite after all of that or during that, and like you kind of explore how the characters have changed over time, and like if they even still want to solve crimes together while they're together for summer or winter or whatever. And I thought the idea was really cool. And so the volume two, I saw volume two was out and I picked it up and I was so excited.
I love that comics are able to tell any type of story that you want to do, and especially invoke any type of emotion. And it's leading me to think of Danny Warren Johnson, because when I see your art, it makes me think a little bit about his work, but it also makes me like feel a lot of different things, because your art is so unique. And you have your own new style and everything. What was developing your style like? How did you get to where you are today?
I think I had like several periods or waves in like developing my visual style. And like there was once upon a time where it was just like I was really into brushes and like that's all I would do. And then I was like, wait, I really like Frank Vitale's work. And it was like, let's draw all the nooks and crannies of a person's face and make them look terrible. but then like there's also like Paulo Rivera. I love the way he tells stories and stuff.
I love Paulo Rivera.
He's so good. I remember he was like one of the people I had contacted when I was in school, like during a color theory class. Because at the time I think Mythos had just come out, and like the way he paints is like the way he painted that book specifically was so unique and very like laborious, I guess, like because he had the color shifts all over the place and like wasn't really relying too much on like the white of the paper to like kind of complete the image. Like I think Alex Ross does a lot of that stuff. Not that I don't like Alex Ross's work, I like love his work, but like he'll like use like the white of the paper to kind of like complete an image or something, if you know what I mean. Like I remember there's one Spider-Man cover where like a bomb is exploding and like most of it is white, but like you see him like trying to protect his face and stuff, and like the only thing you got to see is the red and like maybe some yellow and green from the explosion or something. But like I don't know, I guess it's for me it's the journey was kind of like a lot of figuring out what I enjoy and like combined with what kind of stands out. And it was only in the last 5 years, I think, where it's just like kind of really coming together and like, okay, let's explore like gestures and energy in the image, but also, you know, try to still tell a story, which is probably the hardest part of like drawing stuff like that, telling a story. I was reading Johnson's Wonder Woman Dead Earth yesterday, just like quickly flipping through it, just trying to see how he interpreted certain things, like specifically it was like landscapes or something, because I think that book is pretty epic and like it often has like super splash pages of like destroyed areas of the world and stuff. Did you read that?
I only read the first issue. I remember when it was coming out and I was watching a lot of videos talking about it and everything. And I read the first issue because a friend of mine, I got him a little Christmas gift and everything. And I regret not buying that damn book. Actually, I regret not fucking stealing that shit. like, even though he's a great friend, Micah, love you. But like, I should have got myself that fucking book. You know what? I got some money in the bank account. I'm going to buy that after this. But anyways, but anyways, from what I were seeing in the book, and even in that first issue, I love Daniel Warren Johnson stuff, especially when we covered Do a Power Bomb on the show and everything. But the amount of detail that was in there, even down to in the first issue, the way the Batcave was like left and everything, and then even later on this in there when you see Themyscira, but like went to shit Themyscira, and then even like the different monsters and creatures, it always made me wonder like how long does it take to put that much detail on those splash pages. Like I always wondered that, but love his work.
Yeah, it's I imagine, I don't know, he goes into onto his pages like a truck basically, and just like with a pencil and he just like carves into it, and it's amazing. I don't know if you ever watched his streams, when he's working on a page, he just like there's lines everywhere, all these pencils everywhere, and then he's like barely really defining anything. It's just kind of proportioning out the panel, and then he kind of just digs in with the ink, and it's really cool to watch.
What are some major influences that you have with your art? We talked about a couple of different names, a couple of different artists, but if you had to like point faces to the influences, I don't even know if I'm wording it properly, but you know, you get what I'm saying, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Like I haven't mentioned John Romita Jr. already. I think like that's a pretty big one. I love what John Paul Leon was able to do, you know, in the short time we had him with us, just the way he treated like shadow shapes and like how that kind of defined whatever he was drawing, and like just doing the right amount too. Alex Toth, obviously, like I think I love the quirkiness of his designs, and like the Gaussian goes for like Frank Miller, just like how he's able to isolate certain shapes and like also just go detailed when he wanted to. He's not drawing very much anymore, but I really enjoyed like Dark Knight Returns and like Sin City. I think I have a book where he worked on Spider-Man or something, but it wasn't like the iconic Frank Miller style. It was like still trying to be John Romita Sr. at that point, I think, or something.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I loved about looking, like doing a little deep dive on Frank Miller a little bit ago, was I had like a little fixation on Daredevil. Love Daredevil, but there's a time where I was like just picking up anything Daredevil, and it was interesting seeing his like early stuff on Daredevil before he took over, where you got to see like the more house style, and then you slowly started seeing him developing his own style. And like, that's fucking dope. Got a question for you. About 5 years ago, you were running Instigator Zine. What was Instigator Zine? And it seems like you also enjoy working with zines because you were at Zine Fest this year in 2024.
Yeah. Instigator Zine was a unique thing. It was actually like 10 years ago that it ended. But it started as just like, I was just going to do a cover for this idea a friend of mine had to do like a literary magazine, but like just with Xerox and stuff. And then he asked me if I wanted to come on as like, I don't know, the art person, and we can make an art and literature zine. Like that was kind of generalistic, kind of like submission-based. It was submission-based. First issue was laid out all in Microsoft Word, and I, to this day, it makes me laugh because there's not a lot you can do with Microsoft Word, I guess. Well, there's a lot, but like in the design sense, there's not a whole lot of freedom.
How did you guys do that?
At that point, I wasn't involved with the layout. I think he just did it all. And it's just like, yeah, I guess you can organize it into columns, and then you can like have a box there for an image if you want to put something there. But it wasn't too soon after it started that like, hey, I have, like, this is just in our last year of college, basically. And it's like, hey, I know a lot of people who work as designers in like this part of the school. So it's just like, do you want to help make this thing look prettier, I guess? And from there, it kind of took off. Like, it became like a full color thing, even though we were still using the school's like free printers and stuff. And we used the printers until like we couldn't. That's what I recommend to anyone who wants to start doing that, is like use whatever office printer or school printer you have access to just save money until you want to do it yourself, whether it's like on a risograph or you have your own printer or something. But it grew pretty quickly in that we started getting subscribers and like even some advertising from local like organizations and like businesses. And we often collaborated with other art organizations in the city where I grew up at. It remained kind of the same and like with submissions, but it opened up to like interviews and like features. Like there was like this thing called Instigator of the Month that we started out. We started out with like historical figures, and then it became like actual people who were alive and like how they're stirring shit up in their communities or in their like industries or whatever. My favorite part was the interviews, like getting to know people, and what makes them tick, like what inspires them. And like this ranged from like local community figures to, we interviewed Kyle T. Webster one time, who he makes a lot of like Photoshop brushes and stuff, or just digital paint brushes now that he's left Adobe. Eventually we got like a video component, and like we were doing video interviews, that would also be like kind of like a companion thing to the magazine. Magazine ran for like 24 issues, and like we had subscribers from like, I guess you can say all over the world if like there's one subscriber in Europe or something, right?
You know, I count it. Yeah. I'll say that. You know, if anybody asks you or you got like an interview someplace, yeah, you know, I was on this world renowned zine. got one subscriber here, but they don't need to know that. They don't need to know that.
It's fine. It was really hard to do. I think there was a lot of challenges and like a lot of mistakes we made. But I think I wouldn't give up that experience, even though it like took up a whole lot of my time. And like I thought it would be like kind of a vehicle for me to figure things out for myself as you're like just graduating college. So the big part was like not waiting for permission to like put my stuff in something. And it was like, this is something that I could just put out there and not wait for anyone else to say, yeah, you can do it, or we are approved to have this job for freelance or salaried or whatever.
So what's your thoughts on zines becoming more prevalent? Because I'm starting to see more zines pop up. I'm starting to see even like more publications who were a bigger publication starting to have their own zine. I'm loving it. I think it's really interesting. I'm even thinking about how A24 has that zine subscription thing and everything. So what's your thoughts on seeing zines becoming more prevalent again?
I think it's a really cool thing. Because like zines were really popular. Like I think there's zines in like the Library of Congress or something. I think you can just send a zine there and like they'll keep it. It's kind of crazy. Just like you can make a zine about how much you thirst for Astarion or like whatever, and it's just like it's in the Library of Congress now and like
Wait, they'll put it in the Library of Congress?
I think so if you send it in. Or maybe
Oh, I
there's a
didn't know
form
that.
you have to fill out or something. But I feel like there's like a section in the Library of Congress or some library out there. That's what I heard. I can't remember like exactly which one it is.
That's kind of cool, but then another part of me is like, I don't want to be put in the government watch list.
That's another thing. Yeah.
After just sending one over there, they're gonna be like, "Oh, well, we weren't looking at you then, but since you sent it,
Yeah, you this
let's
specific
look."
thing, poo poo pee pee, like what I'm curious about what else you're involved in. What was I gonna say about that? I think it's like similar to like, big companies kind of co-opting Pride Month in a way. That's what I'm kind of wary of. It's like big company, like a lot of big companies, like, oh, we have a zine. Like Chase Bank has a zine now for some reason. And it's like, what is it about?
Wait, they
Saving
have a zine
money?
now?
No, I don't think so. But
Oh,
I think like you
okay.
could make a zine about saving money, and like, what if Chase Bank stole that idea? And like, and it's kind of like a weird situation then.
It does sound like something that they would co-opt. And it kind of makes me think there may have been like some companies that have done that. I don't know. I think it's kind of like a double-edged sword, just like how everything can potentially be. But I'm going on to a tangent.
I think as long as it stays with like within like the individual, the person, like in at a small DIY level, I think I'd love to see it.
To what you worked on previously, you also worked for Culture Fly. Tell me about that. What was that like?
Do you know about Culture Fly?
Not even really hear about Culture Fly, even though you know what? I think I might have heard of Culture Fly. Hold on, let me double check real quick.
Let's check the history.
Wait a second. Yes, I have.
Oh.
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. Yes, I have. Oh my God. How long has Culture Fly been around for?
I imagine it's like 2014, 2015, because I started there in 2017.
'Cause yeah, no, I was a teenager. I was a teenager when they first started, and I remember I wanted one really bad, like one of the boxes.
Was it like a DC box or Animal Jam even, or
I think it might have been like a DC box. Like I
Yeah, I
really
think
wanted one,
that
never
one
got
started
one though.
up that one started up around the time I started there. Like the first one was this Batman themed centered
Yeah.
box. The box artwork like looked excellent. A friend, an artist, Ben Hip, he used to work there, worked on like a lot of the packaging for the shipping boxes specifically, and like he always did such a great job on those. He lives in Brooklyn still, I think. But yeah, Culture Fly, that was a really cool thing. I think it was like a time, it was like I think it was like when the results of the 2016 election came out, and it's like, wow, I need to change something up. And it's like I just didn't feel good about things. And it's like I was working at a cafe at a time. I was like the co-manager there, mostly in charge of like sandwiches. Well, I think I want to change or upgrade something. So, and I already been at that cafe for like 3 years at that point. So it just, yeah, to change something up. I knew of someone who worked there. Well, actually, they reached out to me sometime in that November of 2016. Was like, if I wanted to try working there or something, or for an interview at least. And I said, yeah, I'll do, I think, it's just like you miss all the shots you don't take kind of thing. So I just give it a shot. And it worked out. Working there, I was doing production design. I was a production assistant, I guess, like where I would take the concept for a vinyl figure or a t-shirt and just like kind of map it out so factory can make it. That was most of my job. I would eventually start working more on packaging and some ideas here and there, but I could never really wrap my head around like concept work for like a new kind of vinyl figure, because Funko was still very big at that time, and so was like other subscription pop culture companies like Box Lunch or Loot Crate. Yeah, that's the one. They were still very big at that time.
I was going to mention Loot Crate because I remember at the time it was Culture Fly and then there was Loot Crate too. Man, that was a time. I remember when both of those were big. Oh my God.
Yeah. I don't know if like I don't hear about them anymore because I'm not in that environment, or because they're just not as big anymore. And like people just want like, they want random stuff coming to them in the mail every month. And like, and that also kind of adds up in the wallet. So, and like a lot of subscription stuff like was kind of starting to wean at that time. Like there's still like a lot of subscription box companies like Chewy, not Chewy. I'm sure Chewy has their own. But BarkBox is like still really cool because like they have such fun ideas. And mm-hmm. like I think there was a point where I was like, oh, I should apply for BarkBox because they're just so fun.
Is BarkBox for dogs?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I honestly think subscription based box stuff, I think they may be still something people like want, but it just depends. Because when it comes down to like nerd stuff, you know, geek nerd stuff, I feel like more people are willing to just go in the store and get what they want, or either just like do a deep dive for it. But if it was like dog toys or maybe even, you know, like the food one they got, okay, fine.
Apron, yeah.
Yeah. So
Yeah, you don't want just a bunch of random stuff coming to you and like what am I gonna do with this? I guess I'll just like gift it to a friend, if I don't like this specific character so much. Like if for some reason someone didn't like Power Girl and they had a vinyl figure of Power Girl in the DC box and it was like, I don't like Power Girl, so I'm gonna give it to my friend.
Yeah.
I'm not trashing Power Girl. I think she's pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't need to comment with them saying like Power Girl is the best of all, which I like Power Girl. I do. You know, it's funny enough, we got like a comment about Magneto for this X-Men video that we did. And we were talking about Magneto's stance, and I asked the question of was Magneto right and everything. And the guests and I were talking about it, and they were like, yeah, on paper he was. Someone in the comments had this whole thing and they were like, how dare you say that about Magneto? And I was like, okay. And then he went on Twitter and then responded to a tweet and said the same thing.
What? Wow.
I was kind of shocked.
Someone was just like really had so much time to write up this whole thing, or they just had it in a text document and just pasted it there again.
I guess so. So if someone hops in your DMs and you know, says some stuff about Power Girl, I want to extend an apology from the podcast to you. So
okay. I thought I was expecting another Magneto thing now that we brought it up. So
no, I was just making a joke about the whole long message or whatever. I don't know. What are some tips you have for aspiring creatives looking at the industry from the outside?
Oh, it's kind of rough right now, like kind of all over the place, isn't it? Like, so I mean, starting from animation, like it's really rough out there. Like I know some people who work at studios and like have been laid off, or like they're expecting for their show not to get picked up. Like if you worked at Cartoon Network, it really sucked last year when they closed the studio, or like moved everyone out of the building. I would say it's important to like really bet on yourself, and not really depend so much on this idea you have like on your head that is dependent on someone giving you approval to do that, whatever thing it is. Like with the, I guess this Max Exodus in animation, I'm expecting like a bunch of independent like animated films to, or series or things on YouTube even to come out in the coming years, because like, you know, companies hate us, so just like they're just like, you have to do it in a way that's sustainable for you because you still need to get paid. So it's like, you know, betting on yourself, but also diversifying outlets for your work, and like try to consider like all the different ways that your work can be applied. So if you've ever been interested in like making acrylic charms or like little short comics, you know, other kinds of small products like stationery things, like, you know, try to explore that and see where it leads to, because a lot of that stuff can be kind of passive income as well, to explore. Like I've Emerald City Comic Con this year, I was next to someone who was doing storyboarding at Illumination, and they did this on the side. They had a bunch of artwork that was like celebrating Cowboy Bebop, Delicious in Dungeon, Chainsaw Man. Like, I don't get to watch a lot of anime, so it's like I'm kind of like pulling for things that I kind of enjoy. This person had they had prints, they had like stickers, washi tape, like, and they just, it's like I just do this on the side, and it's just like extra money, but also like me getting to draw and show people what I'm working on, because when you're working in studios, very often like no one's going to see that unless there's an art book officially licensed by that company. I think that's kind of what people's main complaints are with studio work, is that no one really gets to see the stuff you're working on until it's like that final project in like 5 years. I think a great way to remain confident in work, I think, is to like draw something, like a little bit every day if you can, at least once a week, to like remind yourself that, you know, why you do this, like why you enjoy doing it, whether it's like a small painting or just drawing a face or your dog or something.
Would you say drawing every day, or like pushing yourself to draw every day, would be one of the ways you get yourself out of writer's block, not writer's block, but like artist block?
I think so, because like whether or not the drawing is good, like it's still something, because eventually you'll get to that good one. Like yesterday I was just like doing some random sketches of like something I'm working on, just like studies to try to understand it better. And like two of the drawings were like terrible, or, you know, not very good, or not what I was expecting. And like the third one was like, oh, okay, I like that. Sometimes it's just being a person is still important. You know, going for a walk, taking your dog for a walk, going into, you know, whether you go to a library or a comic shop, or like you just go to a bar and just like just unwind. I think that's also part of the process is rest. And also like being nice to yourself is also important. Like I'm trying to really practice that this summer. And it's like not be so hard on myself all the time for like I'm not having something done, or taking too long on something, or just procrastinating. Been playing too much Unicorn Overlord in the last few weeks, and Destiny. But like, yeah, I think, you know, rest and being a human is also important.
All right, so let's talk about your favorite comics. Let's do a little quick top three favorite comics. No, it doesn't have to be an order, unless you want to give us an order. What would you say is your top three favorite comic book stories of all time?
Okay, Ultimates, Mark Miller, ooh, and Brian Hitch. I love the cinematic quality of that story. I think more the first volume was like really cool, and like presented the Avengers in like really a unique way, which informed, you know, a lot of MCU stuff, even directly with Samuel L. Jackson. So yeah, that I remember picking that up, and it was like, this is so cool. And that it was pretty digestible, and like it was a story complete in 12 issues. I liked that part about it.
It is dated, but I do love that. I do love the Ultimates. I love it. I do. And Hulk being a horny bastard is funny as hell to me. Like it is funny as fuck. I'm sorry.
It is funny.
Is it bad? Yeah, but like, is that bad? Yes, but it's funny.
he's really just like a lonely person, and like, yeah, I guess, you know, if you're alone for too long, you just go for, you know, the rawest emotion you have, and it's like really I just want to plow something, whatever, I don't know.
But, you know, speaking of the Ultimates real quick, did you, well, two questions. Are you keeping up with Hickman's Ultimates, everything, that type of stuff that's going on? And also, have you seen, like, the Ultimate Avengers movies?
Oh, yeah, I thought the Ultimate Avengers movie was really cool. I was really missing, like, Brian Hitch's, like, artwork, but, like, I still understood, and it had the personality of, like, everything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What was the other thing, the first thing you said? All the keeping up with the Ultimates, I guess. That should be like a documentary or something. Keeping up with the Ultimates. We're keeping up with comics. The new Ultimate Universe stuff, yeah. I mean? Yeah, I think it's really cool, especially that it like it ties back into the original Ultimate Universe idea, but you don't need to know all that stuff. So it delivers for both the longtime fan and the newer fan. The new Ultimate Spider-Man, I think, is a really cool idea, and like it has the reader coming back to it to connect to it because they probably are Peter Parker's age in the new story, and like he doesn't have spider powers or anything, and like I'm sure like most Spider-Man fans like, oh, that would be so cool if I got bit by a spider that gave me powers. I'm reminded of the episode of The Good Place where like one of the characters tries to go into an MRI machine with the spider in his hand just so he could get it irradiated and
oh my god. Oh my gosh. Oh gosh. No, you know what? Have you seen this short on YouTube that said scientifically accurate Spider-Man?
Yeah, I think I have seen something like that.
I don't know why you mentioning like irradiated that just reminded me of that. And I was just like, and it was talking about how like if it was real, he'd have cancer and
yeah.
Listen, just terrible.
Yeah, blood transfusion, right? Like transfer of like liquids, right?
Yep. That's
not good for you, especially if the liquid is bad.
Yep. So what's the other two of your favorite stories?
Here it is. I have this huge like wall of stuff here. Fantasy Sports by Sam Bosma. I don't know if you heard of it.
No, I haven't.
Sam Bosma is an art director at Stugo right now. They work on, I think it's Disney animation. This actually started out as just like a staple bound little comic that was like this size, basically. And then he like was able to like pitch it to a publisher and like made it bigger. And it's just a really fun and charming story. And I love the character designs. And I feel like me and Sam have the same wavelength of like appreciating Dragon Ball Z to a specific kind of level. Where like some moments in this story, or like just there's three fantasy sports books right now, but there's a moment in each of the books where it's like kind of this kind of reminds me of something. It's like, why does this remind me of like Cell coming into like the fight or something like that? And like there's just moments that remind me of that stuff. Started out as just fantasy basketball, and like complete with this like mummy guy, and like they just play a random sports game, and it's kind of has magical stakes in it. Two main characters, Mug and Wiz, WYZ. Their relationship's really interesting, and like it goes through some hard parts, some cool parts, some nice parts. I don't know that like the story's really finished, but I would like more fantasy sports in my life, I guess. It was cool. Just a unique idea. Yeah.
Cool. Actually, I wrote that down, so I'll make sure I check that out. So, number three.
It's really hard. Cause there's so many things. Oh, I can't stop thinking about this book. Just like the way they treat the narrative and like the characters and stuff. Laura Dean Keeps Breaking Up With Me by Mariko Tamaki and Rosemary Valero O'Connell. There's some really wonderful stuff that Rosemary does with like the panel work here. like between like these. This happens on the show a lot. You're talking about comics, so it's like like these trailing word balloons, like going to these figures that are up there, and like I think that's a unique way to frame that, right? To like how small this character feels in like this huge panel, right? And like, I think it's like unique.
I love that.
A really great use of space, and to like convey emotion without really writing it down. Sad, you know. It's just like you feel small with this character. Yeah, and there's a lot of really unique stuff, and like the color scheme is also really great. Yeah, it's definitely like one of my favorite books in the last like 5 years, this one.
Dope. So you said it's Laura Dean who's breaking up with me?
Yeah. At first I thought it was Laura Dern, and it's like, nope, that's the person.
Okay. Well, You good? You good?
I'm good. I'm good.
Okay, cool. Oh my god. Okay. I've been laughing a lot this episode. One more thing, and then we're gonna close this out with you talking about any other new upcoming products you got. What is the key to making good sourdough bread?
Oh, you did it. This is that one of those deep dives that everyone like keeps like, hey, what is this show? The key is time. Time and temperature, I think, are the two biggest components of it. Time is like the biggest ingredient of making bread, because like that's so much of it. Just like waiting for it to develop the gluten, or like having those chemical reactions happen in there. And like, so since time is that big ingredient, you have to make sure you're measuring the time. So setting a timer for like when you have to like go back to the dough to fold it or stretch it or whatever. Yeah, that is like often one of my biggest hurdles, is just like forgetting that I have to come back to it in half an hour and like do something to it. And if it's too hot, that can accelerate that development. And then you kind of miss your window. Similarly, if it's too cold, it might take longer to make that whole thing happen. Yeah.
And that was Cooking with Narciso. Esperito.
That's great. I love that. That's the last question.
Yep. All right. It was a pleasure to have you on this episode of Super Saturdays. Narciso, great to have you on. I'm very, very, very thankful that you agreed to be on and sit here for an interview. Before you go, what are some upcoming projects that you're working on?
Upcoming projects. I'm working on a comic for my character, Randy Pittsburgh, as well as just like starting to pull together different story ideas for other things. I have a list already of like people, wrestlers to include in my next wrestling zine. I guess there's two of them now, I guess, that I'm working on, now that I have this like wrestling wrapped thing that I started this year, kind of like Spotify wrapped, but for wrestling. So like athletes' best matches and like moments and stuff like that. That's like next year though. So it's just like waiting for the year to play and just watching, enjoying what's going on in wrestling all over the world. Basically now it's just like, there's so much good stuff happening in wrestling, and I think it's a really exciting time for that stuff. So that's on my horizon. Yeah, just a lot of stuff like that.
Okay, dope.
Yeah. And then I'm teaching in the fall again at CCS. So.
Dope. All right. Well, once again, thank you for hopping on. And, you know, Soups, are you a creative? Do you like to do art? Are you inspired? Be sure to let us know in the comments, and be sure to let us know on Instagram at Super Saturdays Podcast, TikTok at Super Saturdays Pod, and Twitter at Super Saturday PC. Your messages and your views can make their way on the show. This is Super Saturdays. I'm Damon.
I'm Narciso.
And where can the Soups find you, Narciso?
I've made sure to try to be Narciso Espiritu on everything, except for Discord. That's a different thing. But, you know, if you find me there, I'll talk to you, I guess. But yeah, I'm Narciso Espiritu on everything. Website's my name too. I just try to make it simple for everyone because my name is 14 letters. I guess most people's names are like in that range, I guess.
I'd say some people's names are longer though. On yeah. top of that, your name just like it just sounds good together. Like it really does. So glad like you're using
seven,
your name.
It's like a seven syllable thing. I don't know. Maybe it's just like a nice ride or something.
See you next Saturday, Soups. And also, heads up, I may be going on a break soon. Stay tuned. I'll release something about that. But as always, see you next Saturday, Soups.
Thanks, Damon. Bye, Soups.